very special guest in our studio this morning. We're talking to Kay from Caboolture Physio. Good morning, Kay.
Good morning, Gordon. Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's great to have you join us in the studio because it's a long segment this morning because the second part of our segment, we're going to talk about the oldies.
Oh, yeah.
Which doesn't include you or me.
No, it does not include you or I, Barry. We're excluded from that. Yeah. But we thought we might, for our older audience out there, talk about what sort of a program, overall well-being, particularly in the warmer months as well. But we'll leave that for the second part. So we'll get started because it's now coming into the warmer months of the year. So we've moved out of winter hibernation and we're going into the warm summer months. Impact of heat, okay?
Yes, heat, as we move from into the warmer months, we start to consider the effect of heat on our body and particularly when we're playing sport. But it should be remembered also that it doesn't matter whether it's hot or cold. If you exercise more than about 45 minutes at a high intensity, heat stress can affect you. And heat stress can be a pretty nasty thing with consequences that are, you know, such as heat stroke and even life-threatening illness.
So what are some of the symptoms then if Barry and I were, exercising for that? What did you say, 45 minutes at high level, which we do quite frequently? What would be some of those symptoms that our partners would need to look for?
Yeah, so...
Probably pull out the will.
Often in a person who isn't exercising all the time, we're not our cardiovascular systems are not quite up to it, and so we might start to see some redness, and we're not sweating enough to remove the fluids from our body easily, and we start to look maybe even a little bit pale as it gets a bit more advanced.
So to avoid that, Kay, what do we need to do as the normal person out there or a sports person, what do they need to do to ensure that that doesn't happen?
Yeah, well, we want to make sure that we can sweat, in fact, quite easily. So having loose clothing is really important. Making sure you keep up the fluids. And those fluids that you have in the 2 hours preceding sport are really important, needing about 2 cups of fluid in that 2 hours before.
Now, is that when you say fluid, is that just water? Or?
Water, not alcohol.
Done.
Well, we do know that a lot of social activity occurs when people by the waterside and they do consume the alcohol and then go for the swim, and of course it can lead to drownings.
Certainly, and it can certainly lead to more heat stress as well. We need to also consume about 3 to 4 cups of water in any 1 hour period of intense sport.
So water is definitely the best stuff to drink. You don't need electrolytes, that sort of thing.
Depending, the official thing is water, but for people exercising at long-term high-intensity, electrolytes can be beneficial.
Okay. So really the key feature you're saying here, Kay, is that for when you're going into the warmer months, it's about the hydration. It really is.
Hydration, lots of things really about that, keeping cool, and trying to exercise where there's airflow. Humidity is a big factor. So we know that there's a high risk of heat stress over about 30 degrees when it's dry, but it comes down to about 26 degrees when it's humid. And the guidelines say that exercise should be ceased in dry weather after 35 degrees.
I just put the air conditioning on.
So do I.
Anyway, Kay, so look, that is absolutely fantastic advice for people. So when we move from the cooler months to the warmer months, what are the types of injuries that you encounter at Caboolture Physio there in the warmer months?
In the warmer months, we're probably starting to see a lot more upper limb injuries, and that probably is because of the nature of the sport. Cricket, tennis, they're all things involving the upper body. These days, particularly amongst children are interacting with sport in a different way to what we did when we were younger. We played sport a couple of times a week. We weren't into intensive training like they are now. But, for example, my 14-year-old does ballet, and her friends would be probably training 4 to 5 hours a day in various different modes of ballet. My son's soccer, the kids are training 4 or 5 times a week and playing a few times a week often in club and school and that sort of thing. So overuse injuries are a big thing with kids now.
What about underuse injuries? I mean, it's a known fact these days that kids spend a lot of time in front of computers and this sort of stuff and their iPads and what have you. So they're less active than they used to be, say, in our days, you know. So does that have an impact on sports injuries for kids?
I think if we look at overall, kids are often doing the required amount of exercise, which is your 30 minutes a day, five to 6 days a week. They're probably getting that in, but it's the time spent sitting in front of a computer that is actually producing postural and structural changes in their body that are leading to injury, mm-hmm. Or leading to a certain posture where their shoulder doesn't work properly or their legs don't work properly.
And you're saying then, of course, there's a difference in the upper body and probably lower body injuries between summer and winter. Is that due because of the physical contact of the winter sports?
Physical contact tends to be more to do with lower limbs and trunk, you know, injuries, fractures and corked muscles and things like that. And also for lack of warm-up, you know, particularly in adults where we're all busy these days, arrive at sport, no warm-up, go straight on in the cold weather and get a corked thigh or a sprained ankle.
So then what would be some of the classic cooler month injuries
Yes, like I say, a classic cooler month injury might be, and one that I see a lot because I play basketball, is in older people, particularly playing basketball, is the ruptured Achilles tendon. It's a classic winter sport injury where we arrive at sport, go straight on, high-impact sport, jumping and running, and you know, get that gunshot go off in the back of your leg, and that's the Achilles rupturing.
In AFL football, we get a lot of calf injuries where it's torn calves, especially early in the season.
Yes, intramuscular hematoma or a cork in the muscle, either in the thigh or the calf, another really common winter injury.
So then in the summertime, you also be a difference there. So that could be more shoulder, as you said, upper body?
Yes, and you alluded to the children before with their posture and gaming. Shoulder posture is, or neck and shoulder posture, is very much related to shoulder injuries, the development of shoulder injuries. And because if the shoulder's not in the right position to start off with, then it's going to have some sort of tendon malalignment that leads to injury.
Gee, that's interesting, isn't it? That's one of the reasons why I thought I'd ask the question about the difference between cooler and warmer months, because the contact sports during winter, cooler months, obviously, and the more individual sports during the warmer months would certainly lead to a difference in preparation, difference in the injuries that are encountered. But you've made another very good point there. You were talking about the warm-up, which is absolutely essential.
The warm-up's very important. However, in the warmer months, warm-up you have to be very careful with, because we know that as temperatures get higher, warm-up should be shorter. Otherwise, you can find that you're starting intense sport at a higher body temperature, and that can be quite unsafe, leading to those heat stress injuries.
Gee, the hydration. Now, when you finish your activity, we spoke about hydrating before, what about rehydration at the end?
Rehydration at the end is very important too. So to allow the body to cool down, and sometimes we need to apply ice packs, particularly under the arms and in the groin area, where we can get that body temperature down very quickly, and fanning the body. And sometimes with heat stress, we even have to elevate the legs after to get that blood pressure back to the heart quite
quickly. You see a lot of elite athletes, especially in some of the football codes, they hop into an ice bath after a game, and is that good?
Well, there's the jury's out on some of these things, but it seems to help a lot of them. Partly because it reduces heat stress, but there are also effects on joint and muscle tissue and inflammation as well.
Well, the other point you've made there with the warmer weather, you should decrease the warm up. Now, what about the warm down? Do you decrease that as well in the warmer months?
You need to do some sort of warm down. Heat stress produces a low body blood pressure. That's why you go pale. You're starting to get that fainting, so it has the effect on your heart, which can in fact be fatal in severe conditions. So really important to warm down gradually so that we get the blood pressure stabilised again.
So before you then have your first beer, how long should you wait, Kay?
Should you
about
have your
30
first
seconds.
I think it's ironic when you see these finely tuned and highly paid athletes. They've come off a field and they're in the dressing room there, and they're having a cold beer. And it's not the right thing to do, is it, Kay?
It's not ideal at all.
It's not ideal.
Yeah,
at all.
We do want to replace fluids, but we have to be reasonable about it.
Well and truly. Now, Kay, the Caboolture Physical Therapy Centre been around for 30 years. Long time.
Yeah, 30 years in August. We celebrated 30 years.
That's wonderful. So what are the trends that you've seen, or what are the latest developments in that industry? What's been occurring?
Oh, goodness me. I think over the years, like I say, I've seen sport go from being something we did for social reasons to something that's highly professional and very intense. I think there's been enormous changes in the way we do things, and it's quite a challenge to keep up. Luckily, I like studying. I can't recall how many times I've been to university now.
Do we learn it all again?
We never stop. Yeah, well, so
truly,
it's changing
all the
time.
Well, Kay and Barry, we'll just go to a short break, and then after the break, we're going to talk with Kay about the ageing population here on 101.5 FM Sports. Well, listeners, we're talking with Kay from the Caboolture Physical Therapy Centre, and just before that little break, we said we would come back. And of course, one of the big things and the big shift in Australian population is it's getting older. And Kay, what impact does that have on what older people, seniors should be doing in terms of their program, their overall well-being, and how can they make sure that they don't get injured or suffer,
heat stroke or whatever we've been talking about?
Yeah, well, I think the older population is leading the way in sport now. That's what I really see in practice, and I see it out there as well. I've played sport all my life. I'm very involved in sport. I play netball one day, basketball one day, and my latest one I play walking soccer.
walking soccer. Yes, that's
we've spoken about walking soccer, yes. Walking sports have become a real thing. Yeah. So I think the older people are actually really inventive in producing these new sports, various ways of playing tennis. I can't remember the name of it, but it's really lovely to watch.
How many minutes, hours a week should the older senior person do?
The World Health Organization recommends we do 150 minutes a week of aerobic or moderately paced aerobic activity, but they've reduced it to 75 minutes if you include vigorous activity. Mm-hmm. So a lot of people are doing the interval training now, which has got benefits for strength as well as balance.
Can that be done in one hit, or is that spread out over the week?
They're actually saying you can do it any way you want to.
Okay.
So, obviously there's benefits for continuous exercise, but we would like to see it at least over a few days a week.
And that should help to reduce chronic disease and that sort of thing, Kate?
Yes, most of this research was done linked to the reduction of disability in the world. And we identify those major chronic diseases such as diabetes, obesity, cardiovascular, that are the major cause of death in the world at the moment.
So the older seniors and that you deal with or who pop into Caboolture Physical Therapy Centre, what's been the prevalent injury or reason for them coming to you?
Well, it's interesting that seniors are now presenting, I think, the way we would like everyone to present. They're presenting, telling us that they want to start exercise often. So they haven't had time. They're about to retire, or they're just retired, and they're about to embark on getting healthy. So they'll come in and say, I want to start exercising, but how do I do it? Because I've got a sore knee and a sore shoulder, and I've hurt my back. And so
this
really
part doesn't work. That part doesn't
really
work.
Really, we're seeing them for that part to get all of those injuries sorted out. And that's the way we'd love everyone to approach sport. Healthy and fit when they start. And then it's about working out ways for them to exercise. So there's a way for everyone to exercise, whether it be at a class, at a gym, in the pool, at home. It's up to our physiotherapists and exercise physiologists at the practice to work out how we can put that together for them. And, you know, if that part of it's done really well, then we're seeing that we actually don't have to treat too many injuries at the end. And I would say we're treating less injuries in the older population because they're well prepared
for
sport.
They're preventing. That's significant, isn't it? So when we're talking about the oldies, what's some good words of advice for them as they do move towards, what could we say, retirement?
The best years of their life.
A few years ago, I started a pre-retirement project because I really identified that people were, at the beginning of this phase, turning up after they had already broken down because they'd retired and they'd taken up everything and they got injured. So we recognised the need to start this before you retired so that you had a good retirement. Go and get yourself assessed, get your injuries sorted out, start working on your exercises, start building up your exercise program. And then when you're ready to start sport, you will be in a much better shape to
maintain it long-term. Gee, that's significant, isn't it? And something that perhaps the workplace employers and companies could look at. Well, Kay, it's been wonderful for you to join us here from the Caboolture Physical Therapy Centre. That's 20 minutes. Good chat. Wonderful.
It was lovely.
It's fantastic.
And a lot of good information there.
Very good information indeed. Yeah. And listeners, I would encourage you to grab that on podcast. We'll be back after our next break on the weather.